Okay, everyone, we're back. It's the 10th of April, and we are gonna do a lot of stuff today. I want to do a quick review and then get into actually, before we get into check-ins, I'm gonna review the assignment for this week where you have to connect with your partner. Not your self-care partner, but your other partner, your practicum partner. And just to review, so this week you will meet with that person to do what we are calling, and this is on the handout for this week, a stream of awareness. To basically, and I have this on the handout verbatim, to develop flow through intention. So what you're going to do with your person is you're gonna basically do what we would call a stream of awareness, which is I'm noticing my hand is doing this movement that's really interesting. And I just wanna smile. And I'm feeling a little short of breath because I'm not sitting properly. That's a bit better. And I have a desire to orient a little bit out because my eyes aren't used to the screen because I haven't been on it in a couple of weeks. I see Sophia just smiled a little bit. She's got a red shirt. I see Amy's pink headband. That makes me smile too. Someone just sent me a direct message that said, thank you. You're welcome. I saw Matu's smile. I'm noticing my hands are a little cold, so I'm going to rub them on my thighs. So this is it. No, it's not rocket science. It's literally stream of awareness of what you're noticing, and it's about not censoring. So it's about not censoring what you're noticing. And the reason why this is important, and you will find this, and I'm just going to make sure my ringer's off here. You'll find that whether you're working with someone in professional or you're just hanging out with a person, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a partner, maybe it's a friend, or maybe you're just grocery shopping and you have an impulse to do something, do it. Granted, it's safe to do so, right? All the times I was assisting in somatic experiencing trainings, when we would debrief after a practice session, I would say 10 times out of 10, if something went wrong, if something didn't go as smoothly, when we would debrief, the person would say, I had an impulse to do this, but I didn't because it wasn't blank. Does that make sense? Now, of course, again, within reason, if you have a memory come up of something that has nothing to do and it's just your own stuff that you're processing, yeah, something comes up, you might park that to the side. But if it's in reference to how you might be communicating with a person, working with a person, guiding a person, coaching a person, even if you're like doing nutrition consulting, if you do something like that, like there is something to be said about when you're really attuned to your system and working with these principles. Here I am on, ground. Breath is there, orienting, all the things. Your internal beacon is usually right. So, what you will do with your person this week when you are together is to do this with them. And of course, when you're with that person, there's not going to be a sea of 22 people in front of you, but you might have things that you're orienting to, or you'll see things in their background that guide you to be interested about something. It really isn't about dialogue. It's about you just being comfortable being literally on the spot. Yeah. Because when you're working with people, you're on the spot. So you got to be comfortable with that. And then you just riff, you just go. And then I also have under this, so that's part A. Part B is recording yourself. I think most of us have something we can record on with our phones these days, right? So do this where you're voicing it to yourself through a recording device and then listen to it again. Which for some of us, when you start listening to your own voice, it can be a little cringy. I know it was with me when I first started listening to myself and looking at myself. And like, oh, what's that thing I do with my eyes when I flutter? So you could even try recording video. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. But you do find that when you hear yourself and you watch yourself on video, you can start to self-correct little habits and tics, little habits and tics. This drives me crazy when I'm on podcasts and the podcast host keeps playing with their hair, but they have no clue they're doing it. Or they keep, I mean, I fix my hair sometimes because it gets in my face, but there is something to be said about watching, or maybe you're always like this, or maybe your head's tilted in a certain way, right? So there is something powerful about recording yourself audio, but also video. It's fun when you get over that impulse, that kind of like, oh, is that me? Is that what my voice sounds like? Has anybody heard their voice? They're like, that doesn't sound like me. Yeah. It's interesting. But what I find is as you do it more, as your true voice is less censored and it's more clear, you actually start to hear yourself accurately. That's all I can really convey. That's how I've noticed. When I first heard myself, it was like, ugh. And if I go back to my old videos, they're shocking because you can hear how frozen and dysregulated I am, believe it or not. And it changes, right? We're always shifting and changing. So that's the second part of the homework / assignment for this week. And then next week, just a reminder, we're going to do some Feldenkraisian stuff. So make sure you have somewhere to lie down near your computer. And if you do have the ability to put your computer by you so I can see you moving, that's even better. It's not necessary, but it helps to have a few bodies that I can view. Okay. Be comfortable, be warm. And then the only other housekeeping thing to remind everybody of on the 24th, the week of the 24th, not next week, but the next week, we don't have a class. And that's where you're going to do your practicum with your practicum partner, where you'll guide them through a 15-minute neurosensory exercise. Basic principles, you'll get a handout with all the guidelines, and then you just follow that, but still play with your own spontaneity. So that is my review. Okay. Good. Awesome. I want to hear from a few people today. Let's get four of you. So as a reminder, and put your name in the chat. We had Jen B, Saskia, Samantha, Selden, Lena, Matuz. And then last week it was Elizabeth, Amy, and Monique. So for anyone who doesn't have those names, put your name in the chat and just what's going on, anything to share, anything that you're finding interesting, challenging, struggling with, epiphanies. Don't all speak up at once. Hey, Magda.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So I actually had done, well, many interesting things. It's been a very challenging week, but the interesting thing regarding our course is that after I wrote on the forum asking if you, Irene, would be open to having a look at a video or like a video compilation mm-hmm. of the different things that's been happening, like the moment I published it, I started trembling and I went into like an activation, and like immediately after the trembling, my like the affect of disgust would come out. And then after a while with this and like going into a different pose and like you know, even like physically going away from my computer and kind of sitting like a cat, you know, like kind of just looking at it, I went into this whole process and tears came up. And I sing like a piece of toxic shame and fear around asking the wrong thing, needing attention and like needing too much of it, or asking for something I'm not supposed to ask. I think that kind of went through. So yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, as you speak about that right now, what do you notice in your body with
that? I'm back there, like I'm feeling it again, and I'm feeling anxious, and I feel kind of wobbly inside.
You okay to play with that for a second? So just notice the wobbly. And can you see your other classmates, or is it just so check them out. Okay. And just play with this sentence. I want you to all know that I'm feeling wobbly right now.
I want you to all know that I am feeling wobbly right now.
Yeah. And just, you know, sense those words and notice the engagement. And then maybe also mention what that wobbly feels like. If you were to go a little deeper, wobbly for those is kind of not balanced. Like when something spins, it's a little shaky. Yeah.
So, well, for me, like I can feel a lot of it in my face, in my cheeks. There's like a lot of movement and commotion. It's like as if I'm almost at the verge of tearing up. But there is also heat. There is heat in my chest and in my stomach and in my thighs.
Yeah.
And there's just like this in my viscera.
That teary feeling, because it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I just tune into it, I'm going to start crying.
Okay. What if you tuned into it and just allowed yourself to cry? You've got the best group to be with for that to occur. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just let some of those little energies up and out. Just allow the breath to do what it needs to do. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to make it change, right? This idea of not changing breath. And to, you know, I'll just prompt you to make sure that you're noticing that ground under you. And continue to just see who you see. See who draws you in. If there's any colors or backdrops.
The hairband.
It's a good resource. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you noticing now, Magda?
That I had my thighs like closer to my knees, tense up for a moment. And then as it was letting go, like the heat that I had in my thighs, it kind of spilled into my shins and into my feet and just kind of distributed in a way.
Yeah.
I also felt like a lot of slight twitching, like around my lips and my cheeks.
Would you say it was like an energy dispersing or something different?
Like redistribution. Yeah, I guess dispersion. Yeah, would be the way. Yeah, but I still feel Like now I'm beginning to tremble in like around the pelvis, the solar plexus, like it's like a cold type of trembling.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Is it neutral, pleasant, or something else?
Well, it's neutral in the sense that I'm kind of used to these things happening.
Yeah.
But it's positive in the sense that I know that when they happen, something is moving. So it's like,
good.
It's not alarming and it's, but yeah, it's just like, okay, another,
here we are.
Another one's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my sense.
Yeah.
So English isn't your first language, correct?
No.
No, it's Polish, correct?
Uh-huh.
So in your own mother tongue, how would you say, even though I know I'm not going to understand, that's fine.
Mateusz will, so.
Exactly. So maybe speak to him. Yeah. I love it. Let him know how you're doing now.
Nadal jestem rozdygotana. Ale już się nie czuję aż tak oderwana i tak pobudzona, ale nadal jestem w tej energii.
And then Matuz, if you don't mind unmuting and just exchange just a greeting to Magda in your language, just so that we can have that interaction. It doesn't have to be long. Whatever your impulse is.
Mm-hmm. Jakiś jestem strasznie mocno poruszony. I w ogóle to jest w ogóle jakieś przepiękne. No.
Thank you. Thanks, you too. So thank you, Magda, for, you know, we did this a little differently. It wasn't just a check-in. We're going to do a little bit more of these pieces. What's interesting, I see in the chat, people were saying that some folks teared up a little bit when you started speaking Polish and you responded. I then felt a different level of connection. And that's when I got a little teary too, even though I have no idea what you said. Yeah. So that just is that my head is a little more tingly for that. So I like to sometimes do that when I know your language, your first language is in English. It can be useful to go to that developmental communication style that you learn from growing up. You don't need to know what the person says, you know, so you could even play with that if you've got, I mean, obviously, if you have a partner and you don't speak their language, you'll have to have some interaction in English. But if there's an impulse to have someone say something very affirming or, you know, solid, and it will help them to voice it in their mother tongue, know that that's something you can play with. I've played with that quite a bit working with folks, so it can be really helpful. Okay. Mama Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. I have to say really quick, when y'all started speaking and you're Polish to each other, that's when all of a sudden I got goosebumps on both sides of my body, just whew, this huge surge of energy. And it was a beautiful feeling. Felt like the connection, like human to human connection. I just wanted to share that because that was very present for me right now. So just some observations since doing this work. Are some, I guess, sort of surprising is I've had so many, I feel like, emotional reactions to things. Prior to jumping back into this, I have felt very, you know, stable and well-regulated. And when I first did SBSM, I had so many things come out. I probably pushed a little too hard too fast because I was so desperate. And now I warn people when they do this work, I'm like, I did too much. So I was surprised to see just even from the very beginning, just quickly and easily tearing up at things, grieving, like crying out of nowhere for sometimes no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. A couple times it has been a kind of a global overall. I almost feel like it's intergenerational layer possibly, because it seems not as specific. Whereas before, when I've been doing this work, it's been specific memories or specific issues. And now it just feels like this sensitivity from things that I'm like, what the hell? Why is this making me cry? Like, this is not me. But I'm guessing that it's, excuse me, just another layer kind of coming up and out. And I'm surprised at how, you know, just touching into this work in this focused way with this group, how quickly that has come up. Because I was so numb before that it took a lot to feel anything. I had to start with like, okay, I feel my, like literally like feeling my, you know, hand on my body. And so anyway, that's just an observation, like, wow, there's still stuff there coming up. And it's so easy to, it just is right there under the surface and how quickly it's come up. So I'm grateful for that, because I always am wondering about the faux window that Kathy Kane and you talk about, and like, how, you know, am I still on some layer in that faux level? I don't know. So that makes me curious about that too. So anyway,
what's your gut hit when you ask that question, Michelle, to yourself? Honestly,
I just want to say sometimes.
Yeah.
that's my.
Yeah. That's accurate. You know, it and that's fine.
That does sound accurate. Now that I said that out loud, I haven't asked myself that, because I get in my head and I'll be like, oh, am I not? But yeah, it's like sometimes I am. Yeah. Sometimes it is, I'm not regulated enough. And so I'm in that faux window, but a lot more often I'm in the true window, whereas before I never was. So, okay. So I guess that answers that. So sometimes I can be in the faux window and sometimes not. So.
Yeah. And that is part of our life as humans on planet. Sure. And, you know, when did you start SBSM? What year?
2019.
Yeah. So you're still a baby in this work in many respects. Yeah. And it's just the truth. And I know I mentioned this, but up until just a year ago, I was still in some layers of functional freeze.
Right.
And I've been doing this for a long time, since 08, right? 2008. Yeah. And you'll know when you're not, because you can't avoid feeling the stressors around you. Mm. And to just share, as you know, I was just on a plane and traveling, and it was remarkably wild to not be in any false window of tolerance in an airplane, knowing damn well where I am, right? And feeling the blood vessels constrict and be sore, but then also consciously using the tools so that I'm not popping out of that regulation.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something, nothing went wrong in 2 weeks. I made everything, you know, all the things worked. And it was because I was consciously always, when I felt a little bit of activation, I would pause myself, I would orient, I would look. Like, there's no need to rush to get your car rental. You can wait. It's not going to go anywhere, you know, and then getting in the car, wrong side of the car. Okay, don't just put in the keys and go. Learn, relearn. I know how to drive on that side, right? But it was so all these things, when you have that true window of tolerance, you also remember to put in that we could call somatic first aid practices so that you don't push yourself back in to false.
Yes. So following your impulse, if you're feeling that activation, following the impulse to move or shake or cry.
Exactly. And so you'll know, because when you are in that false one still, you will have a day of travel and you don't even know how you got where you got. Because does that make sense?
You've kind of detached and numbed out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So yeah, great, great observations. Just keep doing it. And what you mentioned about how being in this beta piece has just tweaked things, that's what we found from our last cohort. Mm-hmm. Just there's, even though it seems like what we're doing is really simple,
right,
it also has an exponential thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi.
So I didn't really have a plan to share, aside from just very much relating to Michelle in general. Lots of layers coming open since starting this course, which, you know, you never really think you're finished with the layers, and that's okay. but certainly somewhat of a surprise to find bigger layers, especially in being in communication with other people who are doing this work. I'm very grateful. And it's also like, it doesn't seem like I have the word for it. It's awe-inspiring and scary and fascinating. Yeah. It's a lot of things all at once. So that's where I was going to start. And I'm also noticing, like, I'm very uncomfortable being the center of attention, especially with groups of people. So this is a good exercise for me. I'm grateful for that.
It is. And you're doing great.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Yeah. I've also found that continuing to work on my own regulation, like the regulation in my household, is totally flipping, and it's been kind of a dark place. So that's really exciting. We've got some people in shutdown there that I've been rooting for.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah, they don't want to learn directly. So it's a teach by example kind of situation. I'm working with that. And just all the way around, grateful and excited and feeling flesh in the cheeks and that good old social anxiety hand sweat.
Super. Feel that hand sweat. Yeah.
Yes.
So sense that hand sweat and then like really check out the group. Can you see them in gallery a little bit?
Yes.
Just check out the people while you feel your hand sweat and feeling your seat and don't try to change your breathing. Just let it do what it wants to do. Anyone in particular that draws you in? Any colors? Smiles.
They're my partners, of course, my care partner and my practice partner. But all of you, really, you're all beautiful to me, and it's so nice to see your smiles. And
my sense is they can sense that too.
I sure hope so.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, you're all done. Any questions?
I think so.
Okay, well, on Friday, try to keep
Selden said yes. Okay. Hey, Selden, do you mind unmuting and just saying what you're noticing as you listen to Stephanie share? Just
sure.
Something. Yeah.
Right. Well, right now, as I came on, my hands started to sweat. My eyes are actually a little bit teary. And I'm feeling a lot of heat come up into my ears. So it just feels like nervousness, you know?
Yeah.
But I can just so relate to those of you who have talked about how fast and how many different things have come up for you since we've started this cohort. And it feels like there's a lot happening fast, like coming through me fast. That's what it feels like. And just like a lot, there was like, feels like there was this big ball of stuff I needed to kind of work through. And we started this cohort and it was like, boop, you're just going to notice that all this stuff all at once. So it's felt like it's kind of up leveled all of my, where I was, more. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Stephanie's nodding.
Yeah. And, it's been interesting because it feels like a more accurate view of where I am.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I can relate so much. Thanks for sharing, you guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Selden. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah. Samantha, you wanted to also share, so we'll do that next. And I mean, I'll just put it out there as an inquiry question, and you can think about it and you can share in the chat if you'd like, but who thought that they were more advanced and regulated in their system? And then they dropped into this group and it was like, oh my God, what's going on? Michelle just put up her hand. Right? It doesn't mean that the work that you've done hasn't been 100% accurate and good, but the moment you get into a different dynamic, it's then another level of change. But that's what we want, right? We want to be able to do this work in many different instances and circumstances with different people. We get really comfortable just in one, you know, with one practitioner or with one practice, we're not pushing the envelope to how we can have more capacity in different ways. So just something to be aware of as you add more stimulus and you add more challenge, because you got to keep adding more challenge to your system. If not, the system stagnates. Even when you have regulation, you still need to, you know, you still need to move, you still need to eat and all these things. It also comes to capacity building with this work. Okay, Samantha.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for letting me share this, Irene, because sure. I feel like I might spontaneously combust if I don't get to tell you all this. I've just come back from the Swiss mountains. We had a Buddhist festival there the last couple of days. And for the first 2 days, we all heard an 11-year-old autistic boy screaming. He was so distressed. He also had like tics. He could only communicate with one word. After 2 days, it was just got normal to sort of hear him at the back with his mum. And for the first 2 days, it was like you could just feel everybody feel so sorry for him and his mum that she just had no clue what to do with him. And he started screaming during one of the teachings, "Headache, headache," and he was pulling his hair out. And I didn't think, I felt in my stomach, get up, go. And it was such a strange experience. I got up, I walked over to him, I went down to his level. And in my mind was just, he's overwhelmed, really overwhelmed. He needs safety. And I went like this. He spoke German mostly, but a few words of English. And I thought, what's safe in German? One word, Sicher. So I was trying to look at him, but he was always all over the place. He didn't really connect through his eyes. Always defensive orienting, always. And I was just going, Sicher. Sicher. Wasn't working. Grabbed a cushion, gave it to him. I grabbed a cushion, hugged the cushion. Sicher. sicker. And he started to stop screaming and let go of his hair. He started to feel the cushion and he started to sort of move a bit more gently and start to look a little bit around. And then he went, sicker. And he was really confused. And then he put his arms, he put his hands on his arms like this and he went, sicker. And I went, sicker. And he went, sicker. I went, great. And he went, sicker, great. Like this. And his mum was crying. It took about, I'd say, 90 seconds. I mean, it's emotional for me telling you this. I couldn't believe that I'd just gone to him. And for the last 2 days, all we'd heard was him screaming. And he just sat there. And he felt safe, like for what felt like the first time. And I just stayed with him. And we just kept going zika like this. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to go. And I went back to my place. And then I talked to his mum at the end. And she just said, that was like a miracle. What happened? Are you a therapist? And I said, no, I'm not a therapist, but I've done trauma work. And I understand. You know, he was just really overwhelmed, you know, and he just needed to feel safe. So I had a little chat with her and then I saw them again later. And every time I saw him, even though he's always running around the place, and I could notice then what he was doing. He's checking his boundaries. He's checking where the door is. He had a tea bag and he kept putting this tea bag in his tea and he kept pulling it out and squeezing it. And it was really pissing his mum off. But I understood he was feeling the warmth of the tea bag on his hands to feel safe, you know. So I saw him that evening. I was like, hey, Zika, great. And he did it back to me, Zika, great. And he grabbed my hand and he ran. So I just ran with him. I thought, where the bloody hell are we going? And he ran into this bedroom. And I was like, okay. And his mum suddenly appeared and she said, he wants you to sleep with him. This is his bed. And I was like, wow, okay. Can't sleep in his bed. What could I do for a resource? And I said, do you like Buddha? Is there a Buddha you like? And he went, green Tara. I was like, okay, come with me. We go get green Tara. Went to the shop, bought him a little green Tara card, gave him green Tara. And he went, Zika, green Tara. I was like, yes. Held his shoulders. Zika, green Tara. I was like, you sleep with green Tara. So I saw them then the next morning. He'd slept brilliantly all night. He had green Tara in his hand. But she said they'd had a fight that morning because he put his coat, his hat, his gloves, his scarf on, wanting to go to breakfast. And she'd got angry because he'd wanted to do all these things. And I said, you know, I think it's his way of feeling safe. If you think like you're in a duvet in the blanket, you just want to feel cozy. And she went, oh, okay. And then she started to get upset, saying she was a bad mother. I was like, no, no, it's just the education of knowing how the nervous system works. So I said I would send her the links to your YouTube channel. Maybe there was something she could look at. This is the last part, I promise. Actually, it's not, but I make this the last part because this could go on for a little while. So it was the next day. It was the teaching. He would never go to the video link, which is where I sat because there wasn't 100 people there. There was many less people and I preferred it. And I said, okay, bye. I go now to watch the teaching. He followed me down into the video link where she tried to take him before and it hadn't worked. And then he started running around. I thought, okay, he's checking the boundaries of the room. I thought, I'm going to put my notebook down and I'm just going to sit openly. Like, because if he wants to come and sit with me, he can. He got a little bit closer and I thought, okay, he's seeing if it's safe. He ran over and he sat on my lap. And I thought, okay, I put my arms on his my hands on his arms. I went, Zika. And he went, Zika. And he grabbed my hands and wrapped them around him. And he laid back like this. And he was just giggling, like he was just giggling. And then he started trying to wriggle a bit, but he was quiet. And you know what he started doing? He started kissing me on the face, on each side of my face like this. And I said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just really making him laugh. And then he sat for about 40 minutes, just on the knee, really quiet, really calm. And then he let out one word which I'd never heard in those 4 days, and it was happy. And I really couldn't believe it. And I just thought, following my impulses and knowing the work that I've done here with you and with Seth, this really was for me such a profound experience to see how this works, and how when you just follow your impulse and you just know what's right to do. And there were many monks and nuns on this retreat who have profound experience in Buddhism and meditation. And they came to me and they said, I tried to connect with him and I couldn't. And I don't know what you did, but it was incredible. And they just said, you have a great capacity to help other people. And that was really lovely for me, because I've tried to hide a little bit this work that I've been doing, because I didn't want people to think I was against Buddhism or meditation or this kind of thing. But it's naturally starting to show now. And 5 people in the last 2 weeks have asked me if I can work with them. I can't, because I don't feel qualified yet. But just that this is happening and these experiences are happening is really amazing. So, okay, I took a lot of time there, I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, maybe we should just end it for the rest of the year and we'll just keep, that was, so Samantha, I will say right now, I don't think you have to wait until you're more certified. I'm just going to put you out on a limb there and say, I said this, I think, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, be human. Remember I said this? If you have the principles and you're just human, I personally don't believe you're going to do any harm. And it is difficult when you see this stuff in the world, but the fact that you are in these settings where you can help in these little ways, you know, you just taught that mother so much by just showing these little pieces. So even though you aren't an expert in autism and all these things, it doesn't matter. You're just attuning to his survival energy, and you're just seeing it through that lens, and you're being simple, because you obviously don't, that the language is a bit of a barrier, but you knew the one word you needed to know, and the gestures is it's universal. And I'll share one little story to go with that, and then we'll get into a few more things. When I was away last week in Austria, I was visiting some colleagues, so I'll share with all of you. And one of the colleagues is also an SE colleague, but highly connected with Rinpoches from Nepal, and also healing centers, Ayurvedic healing centers in India. Panchakarma is where he goes for weeks to help in these healing centers. And one of the main Rinpoches from Nepal is wanting to bring into these new retreat centers the nervous system lens along with the Eastern traditions, because they're seeing that you cannot do this without them together. So I'm just saying that because it's actually starting to happen. And it's good, because it's not enough to just meditate and be silent and fast and all the things that go on in these. You need to work with the trauma and the nervous system, because we're humans that have been subjected to all the things that all of you know. So it's happening. So that's cool that you're also seeing that. And then that's something that I was witnessing the last couple of weeks. So good work. And I think that little boy will have a very different life from having those little bits of experiences. So thank you. I did a video a while ago. I won't tell the story. I'll just put it in the forum for us to watch. But it was about a little boy in Rome. Did anybody catch that video that I did a while ago? Some of you might remember. The same thing happened. This poor kid was overwhelmed, hitting his parents. He was getting hit back, getting, you know, abused in front of my eyes while I was touring the Colosseum in Rome in Palatine Hill. And I finally just couldn't handle it anymore. So I started playing with him. when we were waiting to go into the Colosseum, and it completely shifted him. And, you know, to make the story short, his mother came up and said, similar to what that mother said to you, "Oh, you must be a teacher." I said, "Well, kind of, but not like," she thought I was a school teacher. And he just needed to get aggression out. He had to play. No 5-year-old should be on an 8-hour tour of Palatine Hill in the Colosseum. And it's just, that's not for kids, you know? So it was just, again, don't be surprised how your knowledge that you have now can really impact these situations when it is appropriate, right? When you can. So, all right. This goes really beautifully, perfectly into the topic today, which is resourcing and the spoken word. So the handout, I have it here, the spoken word, attention and flow. And this is on the handout number 4, the key themes, external resources. So, you know, what you said, Samantha, about the little Buddha, there is a resource for him. His coat, his tat, resources, all these things were helping him feel more contained. We use that word containment. You can recall the containment lessons from SBSM. He did this spontaneously, if I believe. That is like, it's a human thing to just want to hold and feel. Have you ever found yourself rubbing your thighs? Yeah? Or squeezing your hands? When you're, you know, and even when we're trying to think, we hold our heads. Like, oh, I can't remember the word. Like, these are all very spontaneous biological things that humans do to resource, to contain, to ground. Yeah, and kids know. They know these things. Well, again, kids love their teddy bears and their blankets, you know, and their little things that don't make sense that keep them safe. Interestingly enough, to pull off of that story, Samantha and everyone else, at the end, he was more in ventral vagal. He was more in social engagement. He wouldn't be kissing you if he was still in severe shutdown and activation. So he feels safe to be connected. So really, your story is a great vignette of high dysregulation, patience, following impulse, allowing the impulse in him to come out, but also, you know, you had to guide. So if we think about this work, we're still having to guide people because they might not know. If nobody had come up to him with that word safety, it helped, right? So that was also a resource for him in this example. And then, of course, the other theme here on this handout is increasing flow. So shifting away from being fixed. So he was fixed in his fear, in his survival. The word that he kept saying over and over, the sound, you know, it was, that also is a melody for someone who's in stress. It's like, I can at least focus on this thing. I can focus on this movement, this tick, right? And then another key theme, expressing our internal experience through language. So I already kind of demoed that at the beginning when I was doing my stream of awareness. Yeah, what I'm noticing, what I'm sensing, the movement that my body wants to do. Okay. Who here has found that their resources have changed since doing this work? Maybe just pop into the chat a difference that you've noticed. And I'll also pose the question, does anybody want to have a burning impulse desire to share even how their resources have changed this year in what they do? Anybody want to share something that's been really different? Kelly said, I've become more aware of more than I had before. Saskia, I've started looking out the window more at trees. Amy said, I've noticed a shift in how I use them. And when I need them, I don't think what my resource, but your actual resources haven't changed. That's fine too. Yeah. Turn to my coping mechanisms less. Yeah, I have more internal ones. Sophia said, I start talking to my organs with the excitement of a kid. That's cool. Great. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Did I miss anybody that wanted to share about a resource? Just checking, just in case. All right. Okay. The other thing I want to remind everybody of, the training calls from SBSM. This would be a good time this week, and I'll pop this also into the forum, to review training call number 2. In that training call, it's called Building Capacity in Somatic First Aid. I go through a list of when not to orient. Does this ring a bell to some of you? When not to resource, when not to take a deep breath. And I kind of just go through the hypothetical situations when resourcing might take you out of what you're noticing internally. So again, in that hypothetical of working with someone or thinking about how you might work with someone in this context, someone's constantly telling you about a resource, or they're constantly taking themselves out of their body to something on the outside, that's a good indication that maybe they're not ready to be internal quite yet, or it could be an avoidance. And that's where you might have to tinker a little bit, push them a little bit. What would it be like to just not look out, like not orient or orient, but also notice what you're feeling as you look outside? What would it be like to sense what's going on in that belly that you said is a little jumbly and a little rumbly? It's like, not that they couldn't do that, but sometimes you do need to challenge the person to kind of sense a little more what's occurring in their introceptive self, in their insides. So again, that's a judgment call. Yeah. That's where you have to decide, something's telling me that this person is overly using resources to avoid what's going on inside. And then sometimes in the case of Samantha's story, we got to resource that kid. And that's all that matters, right? We don't have to worry about them feeling what's being felt because they are feeling it fully. And that's coming out in this behavioral expression. So again, there's no right or wrong. There's these nuances that you start to pick up on. And that applies not just to, say, the people you might work with, but also to yourself, right? Okay, I'm constantly busying myself today. Why is that? What am I avoiding? What am I avoiding feeling, right? So that's something that you can also catch in yourself. Okay. Other thing I want to mention, somatic vocabulary. So this isn't really a technical term other than a term I'm using right now. You know, when you read and you start reading more, you start to notice that your vocabulary improves. And when you're not reading a lot, you have trouble finding words. And that's because our brain needs that stimulus. It needs challenge. It needs to read. I think as a culture, we've really gotten away from reading because of all the videos and the short clips and the podcasts and the audiobooks. I personally find that if I try to listen to a book, it doesn't land because I can multitask and do other things. So I can't. I have to read a book to get the information in. It's the same with somatic vocabulary. So again, that's the purpose of the stream of awareness exercise this week, is how can you start to get really refined and really on point with how you express the nuance and the diversity within your ecosystem inside. Because the more you can do that for yourself, you'll just be better and more skilled at helping another person pull that out of themselves, right? Just like a good teacher of teaching, say, a language or something, really can give different examples in different situations to the student so that they can see it from different perspectives. So I just wanted to mention that about somatic vocabulary and how it does build as we get more refined, more regulated, more embodied. This is why the Feldenkraisian movement and moving our body and exercising is so important, is it just challenges all the joints, all the muscles, and it all contributes to our brain's capacity. Okay, we're gonna play with something. You're gonna break out soon into groups of four. Might be a group of three, pending our numbers. And I'm gonna do a little demo with my lovely assistants, Annalisa and Bonnie. And what I'm gonna do, I'm going to ask some very specific questions, and we'll put these in the chat so that you can see them. But I'm gonna pose the question, actually, I'm not gonna tell you yet. I'm just gonna run it and then you're gonna see. So Bonnie, do you mind being first up?
Okay.
Hey. Hi.
Hi.
We're Christmas to each other today.
Yeah. A little red.
Yeah. How's your day going?
It's going okay.
Yeah.
It's been a little trying to build my energy from not enough sleep. And actually did some of my resourcing to stimulate myself to the faux sleep I didn't have.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Good start to the day, though.
Good. What, I'm curious, what is an external resource for you? What's one that's...
One is what I did use this morning, and that would be outside brisk walking. It is one of my favorites. So it definitely gives me an opportunity to stimulate, to have some harmony between my body and outside. Gives me a chance to not look at a screen or consider what's on my mind in a different way. Yeah. Flow, the blood flow. So it's both, it feels like both relaxing and stimulating at the same time, because there's release for me and stimulation. So it really starts to give a sense of harmony.
Yeah. And thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So brisk walking, flow, stimulation, mm-hmm. clearing the head, it sounds like too, from, mm-hmm. yeah.
Clearing the head. And all the parts of the body that I might feel bracing or stuck, mm-hmm. I feel fatigue in different parts that I can notice them as I'm walking and maybe move different pieces that I'm not moving when I'm in whatever I'm in inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you remember that memory, which you know well, sounds like, what is a somatic word? Like, is there a one word that pops with that quality?
It's like a bubbling.
Mm.
It's beyond a tingling. It's a bubbling.
Bubbling.
It's a growing. Yeah.
Notice that. And how do you notice that in your body, even as you say it right now?
I notice it coming up from my core, up through my abdomen. I really notice it in a flow out to my appendages. I notice it come up through my core towards my brainstem. I feel it last towards my back, my glutes. So yeah, it's very like it's coming out and flow outwardly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Anything else you're aware of as you share that?
I think there's this, yeah, I feel this progress of this really interesting release of that stuck I mentioned that might be strain or cluttered thoughts or fatigue in different ways, that it unclogs. It's really unclogging. Whether I'm really looking at my surroundings or I'm often not at first, I'm really feeling at first. And I might get to really looking at the mountains or beyond, but that's not my first go-to for the brisk walk.
Right. It's
what my body is feeling. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good observations. All right. So I followed a little bit of a script and what the things are or what they were, is to first engage with the person. So while this exercise that you will eventually do with your partners is about asking them, what is a resource for you? You know, when they say, what is the somatic word connected to that resource? Hers was bubbling. How do you notice it in your body? She gave a little bit of a description of how it shifted. And I just allowed her to speak to that. And then kind of the ending was, anything else that, you know, you're noticing about this? But the transition in wasn't, Bonnie, what's an external resource for you? You know, it's not this directive. It's, again, this conversation, this dynamic. So I say that as you are about to go in, I'm going to do a similar one with Annalisa and we'll see how that's different, right? Because you never know. And you might have, maybe there is no need to engage. Maybe it's just like, hey, what's, you know what you're doing, know what we're doing. What's an external resource for you? So again, that's where you use your judgment, your impulse as to how to engage in these little dialogues with your peers. The other thing, I don't know if anybody caught it, but when I'm listening, my habit is to fall forward. So I have to keep using my awareness of potent posture and I have to bring myself back. So even though you're engaging with your partner and we're doing this exercise, you're still wanting to practice. Are you breathing? Are you connected? Are you crooked? Are you too far back, too far forward? That's my habit. I know that from working with people on the table. I'm always in, like I'm trying to do surgery and then I have to pop myself out and be like, no, we're just guiding this person. I'm not trying to manipulate them, right? And so that's something else to watch in your own system. And it'll give you a lot of information and it'll also, you know, save your back or your neck from being too far in or too far back, whatever it might be. Annalisa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up to trickling water in the crawl space. And so this whole water thing has reemerged.
Oh, no.
So I had to... I had to resource, ground, breathe hardcore to really come into a place to be in space together today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of those resources?
I went outside and I walked down to the water quickly, very quickly, just because I only had a few moments. I just recentered and I connected with my higher self, set my fields and just brought my attention into what was needed,
mm-hmm.
what I could focus on and what I wanted to bring into the space right now. It's like, okay, I can worry about this in 2 hours. tea, blanket.
So the ocean, we'll go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your eyes just got a little bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean is a resource, is a massive resource, grounding place, centering place, unconditional place for whatever's going on inside of me or outside of me.
Yeah. Water.
I feel very fortunate. I see it out my window. So even if I can't go down, I can see it where I've moved to, and it makes a massive difference.
As you see the water, because you can see it from where you're sitting, yeah?
Yes.
Just have a look at it and just notice what somatic word pops through in this moment.
Well, I just breathed.
Yeah.
There's just space. There's expansion. I soften. The tide's coming in. And so it's coming in, going out. It's all changing. There's just a softening. And almost actually now that I'm saying it, now my shoulders, the back of my shoulders are softening. There's just a surrendering versus a bracing up against, okay, how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? It's sort of like, okay. The water always softens me and brings me back to an expansion, expanded sense of myself.
Yeah.
And connection. Yeah.
It's ironic that the thing that put you into stress was water this morning.
I know, I had a good chuckle at that too when I was trying to get myself together for the call. I'm like, wow. This is a real irony of
Yeah, it might be a little too far reaching to love the trickle of water that you've heard this morning, but
there's lots of metaphors.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So two very different pieces there, yeah? I chose to not be as scripted with Annalisa for whatever reason, and that was just my impulse. It didn't feel right at the end to say anything else that you're aware of, just because I think she's aware of enough right now. You know, the house water leak, there's enough resource that she's staring at. It's like, that's enough. So again, there's sort of five prompts, but be creative with them. So, you know, engage with the person, ask them in a way you might ask in a flow way, what is an external resource for you? What is the somatic word? What do you notice in your body? Like, what's one way of describing it? How do you notice it in your body? And then anything else that you're aware of. But, you know, like a good surgeon, you have the formula, but just be creative within these boundaries of you're just having a conversation with your partner about their external resource, just for a few minutes, not too long. So what we're going to do, you're going to break out into groups. And I don't know, Bonnie, how our groups are going to work out. Yeah. And two people will exchange while the other two people observe. So we're going to try to put you into groups of four. If there's an odd one out, you can repeat with another person and just play with this about 3 to 5 minutes each. I don't think we went over 5 minutes when I was doing that with Bonnie and Elise. I wasn't really timing it, but it was under 5 minutes, I think. So keep it under 5 minutes, but enough to have a little bit of an exchange with your person. And then we'll come back into the big group. And maybe, let's see, if you need to stand up and move a little bit before you get into this, that's okay too. So just let some stuff move through if you need to kind of wake yourself up a little bit. I know those in Euro it's getting late for you. And we'll see you back in about 20 minutes. Okay, have fun. Okay. know, a lot of our age is stress. It's survival stress. It's not just stress, it's stored survival stress. So as you get rid of those things, your face brightens up and your wrinkles start to shift because you're not always in that stuck position in your face, and moving more flows better. How was that? I want to know. Please share. Just pop in the chat your name, and then I'll unmute yourself, and then we'll go. And as I wait for that, Bernadette, you had a question. Why do you have to pull back? So this was when I was speaking about when I was demoing with Bonnie and Annalisa. So it's twofold. One, it's structural, because it's the potent posture. If I'm too far forward, I'm just using way too much back muscle. So I'm going to strain my whole spine. I mean, I'm strong. I could sit like this for a long time. But if I were to teach from here, you would start to hear my voice would get shorter because I can't breathe properly. My lungs can't fully expand when I'm basically keeping myself from falling flat on my face. And same if I'm too far back, then my belly muscles and my hip flexors are having to work. So that's one reason. The other reason is, by Matus, he's got to go. Bad internet. All right. Family started watching Netflix. Okay. It's a real thing. The other thing is, if we're not aware of our body and its boundaries, we can merge with the person we're with, even online. And especially when you're one-on-one, some of us will have this ability to like suck people's stuff out of them. It's just part of human ability. And you don't want to do that. So when you're working with someone, and this is not something I want to get into totally today, but you don't want to use your own energy. You want to be kind of the vessel, but the energy that you're using is almost like earth energy in a way. And this is why it's important to be able to stay oriented to the world around you. Because if you get so hyper-focused with whom you're working with, you lose connection from yourself and the world around you. So this is why orienting, feeling the ground under you, noticing your breath, noticing your potent posture, you know, noticing your resources. If you need to have a sip of water when you're working with someone, don't say, "Do you mind if I take a sip of water?" Just take a sip of water, right? Like, do the things that you have to do to take care of yourself without telling the person that you're working with that you're taking care of yourself, because that's not information they need to know. But let's say you're working with, you know, 4 or 5 people a day or over, like that, your energy will start to drain if you're not recycling this in yourself. So those are the two reasons why. Hopefully that helps.
Can I ask one thing? So sure. you're not in the dialogue. You're not trying to solve and you're not trying to fix, right?
Typically, yes. It depends on the situation. So everything that you're going to see mostly in our environment in this beta module isn't deep trauma work. We're starting at those foundational levels of all these basic principles that are the theme for the beta. If someone comes in and they are like, and this is more advanced, they have a car accident trauma that they need to work with, then I'm going to be way more precise. It's like doing a root canal. Not that I do root canals, but I'm pretty sure if you do a root canal as a dentist, there's a very specific protocol. And so with something like a big trauma, you're going to be a bit more directive of what to notice. You're going to be more directive of, you know, what would it be like to imagine what was going on that day before you got into that accident? So then, Bernadette, you might be a bit more specific. But if someone is like, "Yeah, I don't want to go there," then you say, "Okay, we'll leave that. Let's just notice what's going on in your breath right now." As you say, "I don't want to think about that accident right now." Does that make sense? Yeah. Cool. Okay. Kyoko, to share in the breakout room experience.
Hi.
Hi.
So I found it really interesting in my session with Yvonne. She was asking me questions about, you know, my resources, and I usually have very limited capacity to come up with interesting resources. And I feel like tea, looking out to the brook. And but by talking to her, by her asking me questions, I'm like, oh, you know, I can do that. I can do this. I was like, oh, I cook with turmeric. The turmeric is yellow, and that's going to make me feel this way and that way. I can play with all these different colors. And it was really interesting that I would never think that on my own. Mm-hmm. And I just realized that talking to people can bring me to a whole different level of creating external resources.
Cool. I'm seeing the turmeric right now, as you mentioned that. Because it's good. It's warming.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And what you said is so true, because this is why I think it is important to have these interactions, whether it's from a coach perspective or you're working with a practitioner or you're going into a group setting. We can do so much on our own, but it also is nice to have an outside lens, because we might never, as you said, think of these certain things. And it's that person following their impulse to ask, whom is maybe psychically tuning into something that you're not even aware of, but she senses there's something, I know there's something, right? And so that, I think Yvonne had to leave early, but you know, if she was here, I might ask her, you know, what led you to some of the impulses in your interaction? So thank you. Monique.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that I just felt this exercise, the format was really good, like really powerful. This having four people and like two of us were talking, but then the other two were just also adding so much just by their presence. And like, and then also when I was watching the others, like that was so moving for me. So then that became the, you know, the material for what I was sharing. So it was just, it just worked so well. It's so well. And it kind of reminded me of how, or it kind of tied into how much like earlier on, like so many of us were getting so moved by things that other people were sharing. And it's like, we're all like healing ourselves and each other at the same time. It's just amazing. So yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is the, that concept of healing in relationship. You know, it's not about romantic, intimate relationship. It's just relationship. It doesn't have to be with someone who you live with or a therapist. It can be in this very simple way with people that you've just met, really, right? But we all have here's the difference, or the commonality. We all have a common view and goal, and we're all looking in the same direction. Nervous system, health, healing trauma, getting somatically put together, not being in the false window of tolerance, regulation. And that is like a relationship. When you're in a romantic, say, partnership with a spouse, if you aren't both looking in the same direction with common goals, there's going to be friction, right? It doesn't mean you agree on everything and that you're always in alignment with every single thing, but there needs to be a general value of we're moving in this direction. And so, yeah, something really cool happens when you're in this kind of situation, helping each other. And I'm glad you enjoyed the four, because that's something that typically we wouldn't do in some of the more traditional trainings that I've been in. And it is something nice about having more than one observer, because that energy, it's very quantum, right? When there's more observation, the dynamic changes. So thanks for that piece of feedback. That's really good. Anyone else? Anybody else? I have a question that I'm going to answer. So if there is anyone else, please put your name in there. We're not quite done yet for today. Lena, you had a question from the other week that I didn't get to. So this actually works really well with everything we've been doing and talking about today. It was around orienting. And so I'll just read the question out verbatim and then I'll just riff on it. The answer is actually really simple. So you write, if we are hypervigilant and we always did defensive orienting, could you explain why the practice of Irene's orienting audios are helpful and sufficient enough to stop this automatic behavior and to be able to do more exploratory oriented in general? And if so, how? What is the process here? How does it work? So the first quick answer to that is my orienting audios might not be enough. And usually they are not, to help shift and regulate a pattern in a person that has strong hypervigilance and defensive orienting. So this comes back to what I was saying a second ago, which falls in line with Bernadette's question. What we're doing in this beta with the main principles is just the first layer of the cake, right? Of a multi-storied cake with lots of icing and flavors and all the things. But it's important. So understanding orienting is important. So the question would be, why was the hypervigilance there? What created that hypervigilance? Was it early trauma? Was it surgical trauma? Was it in utero stress? Was it lack of connection with the parents? Was there violence in the household? Was there lots of toxic shame? Was there a ton of injuries where the person had impact trauma from things? So that might be the first thing, is why is one defensively orienting? And then orienting is important, but this, Lena, and everyone here, if you're working with someone or you're coaching someone or whatever, this is where if you try to force, I say that very quote, with exploratory, and they're like, they look at you like you're cuckoo. Why would I want to let my eyes go out there? Because out there is completely dangerous. But you'll see it in a person if they come in, because they're so vigilant, and I can't mimic it, but you'll see people that have eyes that are bugged out. And that could be a thyroid thing, but you know, it also could be that they're just so fixated and hyper alert. And that's your cue. Yeah, we're not going to ask this person to orient today or engage them in that orienting, because it just won't work. That's where you might just chat about resources in a disguised way, you know, or you might do something else. So why is that hypervigilance there? And then this is where the layers of working with the stress organs. I know Sophia mentioned that she talks to her stress organs as a resource, is great. It's like, okay, well, the kidney adrenal work, the gut brainstem work, the diaphragms work, right? Lab 5, the joints work. Working with those elements of the neurosensory lessons will help build capacity in someone so that they have more space, so they feel a little more at ease, and then that will start to take off the defensive orienting and the hypervigilance. I hope that makes sense. True story. I know you know, most of you know Seth, my husband's story. I had to retrain him. It's going to sound terrible. When we would go out for dinner, because he would stare at the people next to us to the point where it was embarrassing. And I'd be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, don't look at them. You know, nice restaurants too. But it's because he was waiting for them to do something to him. Like badness was going to happen from this table because they were strangers, you know. And I'm thinking about one table in particular. They were dressed really nicely. They kind of maybe mimicked his father, you know. And it's like, and we had a rule. If he started to do that, I'd kick him under the table and it would pop him out of that. So, you know, I'm not going to ask him to exploratory orient. I needed to actually poke him a little bit so he would break the hypervigilance. And then he started to pick up on that on his own when he would start to do it. So these are the little funny things that sometimes you might, you know, it isn't always just cut and dry. Now I need you to exploratory orient. If a person is hypervigilant and thinking that the person next to us is going to like attack us, that's not going to work because he's so, there's so much defense and it doesn't happen anymore. Right. So does that answer your question, Lena? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, I think there's so much to learn, you know, so just this one beta module, but of course, like there's so many things to learn, but it's so interesting. So we have to be patient a bit.
Exactly. Exactly. And you've got to pick your battles too. Cause when I was away just 2 weeks ago, I was with one of my friends and he's less experienced in this trauma work. And I caught him staring at the table next to us too. I was like, wow, there it is again. And I didn't say anything. I just sat and waited and eventually he came back. Right. But I think it's more common than we realize, this hypervigilance in a lot of people. And when you're out and about, you can start to see it, right? You can start to see it. Final thing I'll share, because again, you see these things. I remember, again, sitting in a restaurant area, social area, and there was a couple talking. I think it was at an airport ages ago. And while the man was talking, his legs were calm. And then as soon as the person he was with, woman, no clue if it was partner or not, I hope it wasn't his partner, his leg would start to go up and down like a rabbit. You know, when you see people that do that with their legs, and then as soon as he would talk, his legs would calm. So I don't know what the dynamic was, but for whatever reason, when he was waiting or hearing her, he went into survival stress. He went into sympathetic activation, and it was probably without a doubt completely unconscious, right? And that could be so early, from when he was a kid with his parents or who knows. So you start to see these things in interesting ways. And the key is to see them with interest, not doom for society. Just like, huh, isn't that interesting that that's occurring? Because then you have that nervous system lens. All right. Any other shares from the experience? Saskia?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, not from the experience, but from what you just said.
Yeah.
That's okay as well.
Yeah, of course.
I was realizing that I have it a lot with sound, actually, in restaurants, that I cannot put my attention, especially when I'm tired, but I depends very much on where I'm at. But just the conversations, there's something there that needs to listen to that. That has to do with that defensive orienting as well, doesn't it? Sort of scanning but that makes me not even being able to pay attention to my actual, which makes me feel bad, but there's and when I'm more rested, I'll be better at it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Loud noise
registers
in the system as a threat. So when there's a lot of clinkings of glasses and loud conversation, and if you've ever been in a restaurant and it starts out early in the day and you stay into the night, the sounds get louder and louder. And then they dim the lights, you know, and it's different. And you will notice how your system shifts in response to the increased sound. And as sound comes up, people start talking louder because they can't hear. And if you're not, and if you're sensitive, your system will be like, whoa, I'm into overwhelm and it's too much. And then you start to not be able to process in the way that you could have earlier in, say, that situation or that day. So I would say that if you're finding yourselves overwhelmed in loud situations, it doesn't necessarily mean you're dysregulated. It's just too much, right? So it depends on lots of situations, but it doesn't always mean that your system is dysregulated. Marianne asks, is shaking the foot a sign of trauma? Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be just trauma. It's the system is feeling survival stress. So the shaking is often a flee. So fight, flight. So it's like I need to run. you know, I don't know how to be here and be settled and grounded. And so I'm going to move, I got to move energy, right? So if our energy can't be contained, we might, you know, this is that classic ADHD hyperactivity. The kids, the adults that do that, it's not because they're trying to move a lot. Their system is needing to move energy. And so they're hyperactive and they're constantly, you know, orienting and vigilant. So not necessarily a sign of trauma, Marianne. It's just often it can be. In the case of Seth, when I talked about that with the hypervigilance, that is trauma. That's an old defensive reaction. But it could just be that the person doesn't know how to contain and move. It could be that that man that I mentioned was holding back something, you know, not being himself, not being authentic. And so that's causing stress in the system and he's trying to get the stress out. These are just hypotheticals, but yeah, hope that helps. Okay, for our last little bit, we've got about 5 minutes, it looks like. I wanna break us out. Let's just do groups of two, might be a group of three, Bonnie. I want you to just discuss with whomever you get put in a room with, not too long, just a couple minutes, how you're finding this learning infusing into your either day-to-day, personal, or in your work life. Or maybe they're a bit of both. Just to share, just to express to another person in the group that. And then when we're finished, we'll come back for a quick bit and then we'll move on out. Okay.
How long do you want to have them?
Let's 5 minutes. So 2.5 minutes, quick. Speed share with regulation. Okay. Breakout. Cool. We're right at time. So we'll close up for today. Just again, remember, come back to your principles. I'm going to sound like a broken record over and over again. Ground, breath, orient, resource, potent posture, all those things. I did the review of everything for next week and this week at the beginning, so you know what you need to know. We'll come back again next Monday. We'll get into some Feldenkraisian theory. We're going to show some fun videos. Make sure you've got something to lay down on that's got some space, not a huge amount of space, just so that you can be comfortable on your back and on your side. Be warm and have a good week. Keep playing and practicing. We'll see y'all later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Where is my cursor? There it is.